Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Okay, so it's a minute past the hour. The new dawn has begun, has come. The new world has opened upon us. The nightmare is real. The pain is palpable. And we got ourselves. That's all we got. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of an ongoing conversation that's been taking place for over 11 years now. And, well, if you go to the chat room, you'll be met by David the Vermont One, Hoghead, Jugapunch, BT Blom, Tim from L.A., longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky, who has folded space to become Man Cave. Still got a cold, but maybe feeling a little bit better. He did not fold space into a bottle of NyQuil, and that's a good thing, or maybe not. And, oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is, well, in a way, this is nothing new. This program was born during the reign of error, the long national nightmare of George W. Bush. And maybe, because I've been thinking about things like this all day long, maybe, just maybe, this is the moment for which you, the community, have created this radio operation. Carol Baker says, I'm here, I'm sane, I'm sober, I'm ready to talk. Good, good, good. Because we're gonna have a lot to talk about. And we'll see where it all goes. But we got to get the business out of the way first, and I'm sorry, but we do. Or maybe I'm not sorry. We try to raise $200 an evening. We fell short last night. Chris in Germany, after last night's extended session, kicked in, I have a show on me. So we need to raise $200. We need to raise it every night. This community needs to grow this conversation. We need more people in it. Hell, if we've got more people in it, I'll go to 6 hours a night. Or 6 hours in the afternoon and 6 hours, or 3 hours in the afternoon, 3 hours at night. I'll find a way for us to maintain our each other's own sanity. And I want that to happen badly. Because I'm still in shock. We watched it all happen in real time last night. We went to bed, maybe some of us, at sunrise. And I don't know about you, but I'm not okay. I don't feel okay. I don't look okay. I don't sound okay. I don't hear okay. There is nothing okay right now. When I went to bed, my lovely wife Agnes was already asleep. But I thought she knew the outcome, and she woke up and rolled over and looked at me, and I simply said, "He won." And she began to cry. Yes. And those were tears that were joined with tears all over the country today. And I would suggest that we are probably all equally confused, equally immiserated. And we're going to talk about it, because before there can be action, there has to be some talk. There has to be some, emotional sorting. And we're going to do that every night for 3 hours a night, as long as you choose to support this program, and as long as you choose to maybe, hopefully, help add more people to this conversation and this community. If you want to help out with the horn, well, you go to headonradionetwork.com, you click on Contribute, and you fill out the fields. If you would like to become a monthly sustaining contributor, click that little box that says Make This a Recurring Monthly Donation for however much. And that way we'll keep going. Otherwise, you know, one at 200, two at 100, four at 25, and the rest of that shtick. I kind of feel entitled to go into the pundit business now. Because I got this one right. I predicted a long time ago that she would lose and he would win. At the time I said, you may recall that I said, it gives me no pleasure in saying this, and I would far rather be wrong than right. But I was right. Don't like it, but it's a fact. Lots of email over the last few hours. Lots of comments over on Facebook. Note coming from Darlene in Connecticut. On the table right now, end of the world as we know it, $100 challenge. Darlene will meet and match the next $100 that come in to help keep things going. Thank you, Darlene. Jan, writing, subject line, president, the he-devil got in, not the she-devil. I suppose that's one way of looking at it. There's anger out there. There's bitterness. Kim in New Jersey writes, so we really are all fucked. This comes as no surprise to me at all. Yes, Americans are stupid. I've known this to be true and realized it long ago. In 1980, I fully understood how the Germans elected Hitler. Americans elected Ronald Reagan. He then began dismantling the social safety net. But he was not a strong man, so this country has limped along on its downward trajectory. I tuned out for 8 long years. Then there was Bush, too, confirmed my strong belief the Americans really are stupid, and that electing Ronald Reagan twice was not a fluke. Again, I tuned out for 8 long years. Here we are today. This time is different, though. Three strikes, and we're out. This time the damage will be irreparable, at least in my lifetime, at least for me. This time Americans elected a fascist. I don't believe in any of the bullshit that we all will be okay. My marriage equality is on the fast track to an early death. Soon I will be back to being a second-class citizen. My future Medicare and Social Security are on their way to privatization. The damage is done. The forces of evil have once again triumphed over the forces of good. History is littered with examples. Witness the Crusades, Spanish Inquisition, and Hitler. This American experiment is in the final throes of failure. I am not exaggerating by feeling that we are doomed as a society. No, it will not be okay. I will need to tune out for the rest of my life. This time, sadly, Kim in New Jersey. Well, I hope you don't, Kim. All we got in common, you've heard this before on this program. It's a line that comes from the movie Mate One. All we got in common is our misery. The least we can do is share it. And I'm not playing kumbaya with anybody either. I'm looking at a headline here from CBS News. Who, incidentally, as a member of the for-profit media, can go fuck itself. You know what the worst news about Les Moonves being run over by a bus would be? Hearing that there were skid marks in front of him. You remember Les? Trump may be bad for America, but he's great for CBS. Fuck you, Les. Fuck you loud. Fuck you hard. Fuck you forever, Les. CBS has got a piece of this. ABC's got a piece of this. NBC's got a piece of this. God damn, Joe and Mika have a huge piece of this. You're not going to ask him too many hard questions, are you? And meanwhile, because there are so many things to say and so many thoughts and so many things that you need to say, we'll just hit little spots here and there. The for-profit media did this to us. Our fellow Americans did this to us. Hillary did this to us. I watched her concession speech. It is the only degree to which I have participated in the for-profit media all day long. I turned on the CBS News app that Scott and Punky were talking about the other night. And I watched her concession speech. And the only thing I could think was, if there is any blessing to this at all, it is the last public unpaid speech we will ever hear from Hillary Clinton again. Stand not upon the order of your going, Mrs. Clinton, but go at once. For God's sake, go. You have done enough. Here's a headline from CBS News. Obama on election outcome. Remember that we're actually all on one team. No, Barack. Jesus, Barack, no. I am not a fascist. I am not a Nazi. I am not a Klansman. I am not a skinhead. I am not a neo-nationalist. And I will never be one. Ever. And just as I pointed out, and I took some grief for it on the Brexit vote, when your alliance that creates a certain electoral outcome is comprised in one part or another of racists, of bigots, of neo-Nazis, of fascists, then you, the winning side, have created a neo-Nazi, bigoted, prejudiced, racist, xenophobic, neo-Nazi, skinhead, Klan problem. And no, I can't see any time in the near future when I'm going to use the word president and that orange pile of shit's name in the same space. I'll figure out something else. Maybe I'll just refer to him as that orange pile of shit until he sends his fucking stormtroopers to come and get me. Is that hyperbole? I don't know. But I am not on the same team with the fucking Klan, Barack Obama. No, I am not. And I do not want to hold hands with a bunch of goddamn Trumpansies. They're going to take everything away anyhow. What? It's going to feel better for me? Because I decide to join in and goose step with them? Fuck no! Hell no! But we have got to see to each other's well-being. There's too much pain out there. There's too much agony. There's too much crying. Heather says, I'm pissed. Just pissed. I think Americans are damn dumb. David in South Carolina stands says, I tried to warn people. I knew this would happen. Steve in New York, subject line, Les Moonves. Actually, the worst news would be that it may mess up the bus. Emilio says, dang, Brother Bob, this intro sounds like the anti-version of Kennedy's speech in the National Convention. The hope ceases and the dream is long dead. I'm right pissed too, Brother Bob. How could you not be? How could anyone with a functioning conscience not be? Thank you, Jeremy in Vermont, loud and clear on TuneIn on this dark, dark fucking orange tan shitty day. Yeah. So I got no kumbaya in me. I don't think you've got any in you. I know this much. We've got to have, there's no point being here if we don't have conversation tonight, if we don't process this, if we don't work through it. I become so sad when I think about, I mean, I'm scared. I am a white, privileged male, and I am scared. And if I'm scared, what got me thinking earlier, if I'm scared, then what does somebody who swabs out toilets for sub-minimum wage and lives in the shadows of the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, in the universe, now, today, forever, amen. What does that person feel? When does the roundup start? Have they started building the goddamn wall? If you're an undocumented immigrant in this country, I don't know what they're going to do to you. But I promise you this, I won't support it. It will not be done in my name. And if there's some way that I can help, I will. If you're a woman in this country, you have a right to be afraid. Because all of your rights, they're not on the table. They're on the menu. If you're disabled in this country, you have a right to be terrified. Because you do not fit in with the picture of an America becoming great again. If you are black in America, you're not safe. And all of these things are not going to be directly accomplished by that idiot that a few million idiots elected president last night. He's not going to do all that. His goddamn followers are. And they scare me water-boweled. Note coming in from Gerald. He says, I'll admit I'm still in shock. However, nominating Hillary Clinton was a dumb fuck thing to do. Yes, I voted for her, but only to keep Trump out of the White House. The only positive thing I can get out of this is the DNC has 4 years to get their shit together. I doubt they will, but we can always hope. And no, no kumbaya from me either. They spent 8 years obstructing. Am I supposed to forget about that? Fuck 'em! If you're a Muslim in this country, I don't know how you're not terrified right now. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're getting from minute this to minute next. I don't. This is the stages of grief, and I think it was Michael and Madison who said, "I don't know how to handle them all at once." Me neither. But for those of us who saw this coming. Well, there's no joy in it, but I know this much, we have an obligation. You can't give in. You can't surrender. You may have to struggle to hang on to what you have. You may have to figure out new ways to survive once they start taking things away. But you can't give up, you can't surrender. And for Christ's sakes, for all those people out there who are terrified with good reason, try to have a decent word. Try to have a supporting hand. Try to have a comprehending and listening ear. That's really kind of, I mean, there's the funny, you know, these things are typically referred to as a post-mortem. Only in this case, it feels very much real in the sense of an analysis of something after the something has died. Because something died last night, make no mistake. Fascism won. Fascism isn't coming to America carrying wrapped in a flag and carrying a cross. It's here. It is here now. And you're not going to, and it's not going to be okay. And the Republicans are not going to look up and say, well, you know, we've got to extend a hand across the aisle. Fuck no. The stump liquor bunch, oh, they're deep in their cups and they're waiting for somebody to stomp. Let's go over and check in with Carol Baker. Hey, Carol.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine. I'm not okay. Are you okay?
I'm better than I was at 3:30 this morning when I woke up.
Yeah, I get that.
I couldn't watch it live. I couldn't make myself do that.
I have to offer a caveat. Like I said, I haven't seen a bit of for-profit media coverage today. I didn't watch that pile of shit give a speech.
Me neither. I'll never watch it.
I haven't seen any of the for-profit media dickheads out there offering their analysis. So, to that extent, maybe I'm a little ahead of the game.
Well, and I guess I lucked out in that I had a long day at work today, and it was very busy, and it kept my mind off things. And not one customer mentioned it.
Wow.
I know. Kind of shocked me a little bit. But I decided to check my Twitter feed, and the Trumpensies were making a broad appeal to the libtards for unity. You know, they want us to coalesce behind our new president and treat him with decency and respect. Really?
Would you care to join me in a quick fuck him? 1, 2, 3. Fuck him.
Fuck him. Here was my response. I said, you mean to tell me how you all coalesced behind President Blackenstein? Treated him and his lovely wife and his children with decency and all the respect they so richly deserved? Like how you hung him in effigy over the interstate overpass by my house? Like how you all took to social media to question his birthright? That kind of coalescing? Hell yes, I can do that. I'll coalesce behind your boy just the same way you got behind President Obama and your little daily Klan rallies and your emails depicting him and Michelle as monkeys. Oh, I'm all in for President Don, just like you were behind President Obama. Now, if you'll just hand over the shivs.
Amen. Because
I had absolutely no patience for that shit. Oh, all of a sudden you want to play nice?
Yeah. Why are they out there doing that though, Carol? They own it. They've got everything.
They got what they wanted. Yeah. When you've got everything, it's easy. Oh hell, those fuckers were calling for armed insurrection if it went the other way. They were gonna burn this fucking country down. Now they're just gonna do it slower. Hey, if I learned nothing from last night, it's that reality TV America not only likes watching dumpster fires, they like help setting them too.
Oh, they like roasting rancid weenies in them.
Oh, you ain't kidding, honey.
But I mean, I'm very serious about this. They own this, and mm-hmm. anyone who reaches across the aisle to, helps them own this.
Yep.
When they take away. And I'm being selfish in this, Carol. Please understand, and please don't hate me for it. But when they take away my health care, anybody who has reached out across the aisle in unity is complicit. Okay?
Oh yeah.
When they take away a woman's right to choose, anybody who has joined in on that bullshit of we're all in this together owns a chunk of that too. When they start rounding up the undocumented immigrants, anybody who has said, well, you know, we're all Americans and we're going to join together and go forward, they own a piece of that, too.
When they privatize Medicare and Social Security and old people are starving again the way they used to, they own that.
But see, I get the vibe from you, and I can say it with certainty for myself. I refuse to own any of that.
I refuse to own any of it, too.
I rejected that. I rejected it at the polls. I have rejected it every night. My progressive values are very much intact.
As are mine.
Okay. And the question is, how do we maintain those and grow those? And do we try to be around for when everything falls apart? Because everything is going to fall apart, Carol.
It is all going to fall apart. We're not going to have a choice but to be around. Now, the only thing that I have going for me is my age is that I'm circling the drain a little. I'm starting to feel the pull. So, when death is looking good, it speaks volumes. But honestly, Bob, I can't give up everything that I believe in. I can't give up decency. I can't give up deciding that it's none of my fucking business what people do in their bedroom. It's none of my fucking business when a woman decides when it's her time to become a parent. It is none of my goddamn business about how people choose to worship, if they choose to worship at all. I don't care about any of that stuff because in the end, there's this human factor that comes down to flesh and blood people and who they want to love and how they want to form their families. And then I'm looking at the stock market and Do you know who did really well today?
No, who?
The for-profit prison system. Oh, their stock went up 36% today.
Oh, really? Corrections Corporation of America had a big bounce?
Oh, man, I should have bought in. Except for that whole, you know, having a soul thing.
So, what do you... And I got no way of knowing. I mean, it's not like I can get a... I wish the program had this kind of reach. But what do you suppose people are thinking in places that are immediately and direly threatened by climate change? What do you reckon they're saying in the Maldives?
Oh, give it 10 years. What Maldives? They'll be underwater. They'll be gone. Completely gone.
And, you know...
We have to face the fact, Bob, that things are going to die because of this. Land is going to die. The environment's going to die. People are going to die. Old people are going to die. Young people are going to lose opportunity. It's just a matter of how soon, when, and how hard we fight back. And I'm going to fight back because it's just in my DNA.
What do you suppose?
I don't have a choice.
Have you seen anything on your feed, Carol? What are they? What are the thoughts coming out of Standing Rock? What are they thinking out there?
I haven't heard a peep from anybody about Standing Rock, but the little bit I gleaned from something was that they're just going to militarize it, go in and move those people off. If they have to kill them, they're going to kill them. That fucking pipeline's going in. Capitalism, baby.
I was having a conversation earlier today about what we can expect here in West Virginia.
Well, if you're going to die, die quickly.
And some of these things, I mean, I'm not trying to impose my feelings onto you where you are. You're in no position. I mean, I've heard and seen, and I joked a little bit last night about, you know, where I'll go. You know, hey, you know, will somebody sponsor me? You know, in another country.
I did too.
But I can't go anywhere.
I know.
I'm not. I saw where Cher said she would move to Jupiter. I saw where Barbara Streisand said she would move. I saw where I saw where Chelsea Handler and Amy Schumer said they were going to move to Spain.
Yeah, when a communist country looks good to you.
But most of us can't do that.
No.
Most of us are going to be stuck here inside the wall.
Jokingly texted Ron in the frozen north and said, is my couch ready? And he goes, oh, Bob already asked for it. I said, fuck him, I asked first.
Friendship my ass, yeah.
Every man, yeah, screw you, Bob. But the truth is, nobody's getting that couch.
Jesus. And...
I know
you work with a company that has a lot of, well, it's Hispanic owned, isn't it?
It's Hispanic owned. I'm the only white person who works there.
I'm not asking you to tell tales out of school, but was there any response today?
My boss walked in this morning and looked at me and he said, what the fuck? And I said, don't look at me, sweets. I voted for you guys.
And that's the
point,
isn't it?
We're worried about all of our guys that are here on work visas. Everybody who works for my company is legal. But we're terrified about what's going to happen. Because I got to tell you, we've hired white guys before. They ain't root for shit. My guys, you never saw anybody work so hard in your life.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt. So do we just take a couple of days and kind of catch our breath and just get back to the same old, or is
no? I don't think it's going to be like that at all, buddy. I think we for our own sanity we have to take a couple of days to catch our breath, and then we have to start planning. And here's the thing, is that we were failed by the Democrats who stayed home. We were failed by Democratic leadership. We were failed by the mainstream media who legitimized this son of a bitch. And that's exactly what they did. They legitimized him. We were failed by the media who helped to normalize the type of rhetoric that came out of them. And those are all the people I'm going after. And most of them are on our side. I don't want to hear a fucking word from anybody who didn't vote. Not a word. I don't want to hear any shit from the Trumpansies who want this sudden conciliation. The people who were ready to, who were arming up. Because that's all I heard about around here was people who were stockpiling guns and bullets. And Jesus. The media? I'm sorry, it's time to clean house. Because to me, they're all either Fox or Fox Light.
But they don't have enough.
Who did a good job? Who did the job of calling him out for what he was?
None of them.
None of them, not in the mainstream media. You did your job. Amy Goodman did her job. Keith Olbermann is sure as hell doing his job now that he can. But how big of an audience do you all have by comparison? Because who's funding the media? Multinational conglomerates, billionaires, rich people who have everything to gain.
Well, a question. Oh, and by the way, in case you were wondering, I don't know if you'd seen this or not, but the Klan went marching on a bridge.
I saw it.
Over a highway in North Carolina this evening.
Hey, Vladimir Putin and David Duke were the first two people to congratulate him. The white nationalists have their party. They have their leader. What does that say about our country?
I
know, we're all sitting here just grasping for words. And the truth of the matter is this isn't any time to just shut ourselves off. This is a time for us to accept the fact that we stripped Donald Trump down to his swastika pasties. And still had the greenies giving me this, there's blood on your hands if you vote for Hillary. Guess what? Fuck you too.
Well, like I said, if there's any takeaway about them, they were irrelevant. They changed nothing. They made absolutely no difference whatsoever in this election.
But do you know who did make a difference in this election? The Democrats who stayed home.
Oh, damn sure.
Fuck them.
I hope you won't get mad at me when I say this, but I'm going to say this.
Go ahead.
I never want to see Hillary Clinton again. I don't want to see her face. I don't want to hear her voice.
You think that's going to piss me off?
I'm trying to be careful right now.
You know what, Bob? What did being careful get us?
Well, I know, but I don't want to shit on my friends, is what I'm saying.
She was not ever the most qualified woman for the job. So all of that rhetoric can just stop. Stop. She had baggage that was insurmountable, Bob.
I agree, but can we also?
I'm not trying to take away her CV. I mean, I get she was Secretary of State. I'm not saying she did. She was all bad. That isn't it.
No.
I'm just saying.
But I there's something else to be said here, and that's this. What happened last night would have happened had Bernie been the nominee too. I'm convinced of that.
Well,
this is a country that fell in love with fascism.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I already got scolded this morning. Oh, you fucking Bernie bots and Bernie bros, I hope you're happy. And I'm like, you know what? 95% of us voted for her, so shut the fuck up.
Right. I did my part. You did your part.
On the upside, I bet all those Christian conservatives addicted to porn can't wait for the White House Christmas card.
We've got to start.
There'll be a Melania.
We're going to
all splayed out on the national symbol wearing nothing but her patriotism.
I mean, God, America. You know, you are a giver. Even in these dark moments, you remain a giver. Because I just got to contemplate, and I hadn't yet. We've got a stripper for a first lady.
Honey, I'm a giver. I've made more than one person laugh at that one.
Holy hell.
Yeah, an illegal alien.
Yeah, I guess they're not going to lock her up or round her up or put her in the camp or anything.
I know. And I can't believe people weren't pissed off about that. Here she was, taking perfectly good jobs away from white American-born trophy wives.
Perfectly capable white American-born skinny women wearing infant size zero clothing.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
I'm told that's a real size.
Well, so I mean, I've seen them, but they're, you know. It's what my family, we dress toddlers in, but okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, God almighty, Carol. I mean, so I really am, since I'm not playing kumbaya with these bastards.
Me neither.
But I really am going to double down on my effort to be decent to the people who are threatened in this country.
Me too.
Because it's kind of all I got.
Well, you know what, Bob? It's just like, all we can do is the best we can do.
Carol?
Our respect for other human beings. All we can hang on to. You know, you and I, neither one of us are believers, but we believe that Muslims and Jews and Buddhists and UUs and all those folks have a right to exist. You know, most of them aren't bothering anybody, truth be told.
Right.
The real terrorists are the white fundamentalist Christians.
And we gained 6 in the House and we gained 2 in the Senate, and it's still not enough.
Still not enough.
You know what I'm going to love? When they nominate a judge from Alabama, his name's Pryor, who had nude selfies on a gay hookup site.
Oh, well, infinitely electable.
There we go.
That's who we want. You know, hell, Michelle Obama pranced around Washington sleeveless for 8 years, the whore.
Trying to make us eat broccoli.
I know. Bloodthirsty shit like that.
So, here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
When they really start doing this stuff, mm-hmm. when they pass the repeal of the Affordable Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act in each house, and then the piece of shit signs it into law. Anybody going to do anything?
Well, I think it's going to be real interesting when I point out that all of those people that are now forced to get all of their health care in the emergency rooms, as these small country hospitals close down, and, you know, pretty much rural America is going to be fucked by that one in a huge way. It's going to be huge. You know, 20 million Americans losing their health care. And do they think that they're just not going to go to the emergency room? And guess who pays for it? The people who elected him because they were bitching about Obamacare. That, for the most part, had zero effect on them.
Yeah, but the people who elected him, they're going to be losing their health care, too. It's not just a bunch of goddamn liberals that have health care.
Well, you know what? That's what they wanted. That's what they voted for.
But but people on our side, Carol, when they go and overturn Roe versus Wade, lickety split.
Oh yeah.
Reckon women will march? Because one of the interesting takeaways out of the breakout of the voting last night is that women weren't really with her.
No, they weren't. Certainly not conservative women. Women did not walk away from Trump the way I thought they would.
I guess there's some that want to be, you know, grabbed.
Well, the whole nation got grabbed there. Enjoy.
But
I read a story from a friend of mine last night who had to work last night. And while she was at work, a customer decided that it would be okay to grab her by the ass. And she didn't scream and she didn't holler. She said he's going to have a very interesting time today explaining how he got that broken wrist. But she said, this is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. She said, I need my job.
I mean, when there are over 11 million human beings who are going to have to be, you know, according to his promise, thrown out of the country. Well, just within the simple calculus of time, that could take 100 years.
Yeah.
So, but he's going to have to come up with a better solution. He's going to have to come up with a better solution.
Having neighbors. No, they're going to, trust me, before this is over, there will be a bounty on these people. People will be getting rewards for turning people in.
But then what? I mean, really, aren't they going to have to build some fucking camps, Carol?
Of course they are.
Where people of one ethnicity are all sort of gathered together.
You mean concentrated?
I think that's the word, yes.
Yeah, I thought maybe that was the word you were looking for.
Will we, is tattooing so 1934? Are we going to, will we go for RFID chips this time?
Oh, I think that's exactly, I think you're just so close. That is so close. Another friend of mine told me that her husband is a school counselor. Trump bullying of the minority students has already begun in earnest. I have a feeling that zero tolerance thing they have is only going to be for the wrong colors.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if there's going to be a resistance. But I do encourage people to participate here.
Be. Bob, in the end, I can't lose focus of the fact that she still won more of the popular vote. He was elected by this arcane 18th century horse shit called the Electoral College. And in the end, there are still more of us than there are of them. There really are. And I don't want people to lose focus on that. There are still more of us than there are of them. We have some character flaws in that we're not motivated to get out and vote and do the right thing. But I still believe that there is a majority of good souls out there. And I can't believe that they're going to start privatizing Medicare and reversing Roe versus Wade and national stop and frisk and all the shit. And we're just going to go along like sheep. I don't think so. I don't think so. Did you see the New Yorker cartoon today?
No, I didn't. I've seen Precious Little today.
Oh, darling, it was fabulous. There's a billboard with a wolf that's dressed just like Trump. And it said, "I will eat you." And there are two sheep standing there looking at it going, "Well, at least he tells the truth. He tells it like it is.
He's not politically correct."
Well, here's a sweet little indignity. It landed in my text inbox.
Yes.
Open enrollment has begun. Visit healthcare.gov today to shop for the healthcare plan that is best for you. I mean, I'm sure it was automated and everything, but nobody could go in there and stop that.
Oh, I'm sure. Bob, truly, if the Democrats in the Senate have an ounce of courage, they're going to filibuster every fucking bill put before them, block every court nominee exactly the way Mitch McConnell and his ilk did to President Obama. I think the karma bus is going to come around if they have hair one on their balls.
I want to believe that, but I'm kind of having a hard time thinking that, well, I don't know, Harry Reid's gone. Maybe Chuck Schumer's got some fight in him.
You know, you got to remember that there are people in the Senate. There are people in the Senate that I think have what it takes. Franken?
Yeah.
Keith Ellison.
And those are the people to get behind.
And those are the people we have to get behind. Exactly. And it isn't like we didn't have those people to put forth as candidates to begin with. So I think those people might be positioning themselves to become real leaders.
I hope so. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Remember how the Confederacy was getting ready to re-secede?
Oh, yeah.
If she won?
Yeah.
Doesn't the Northeast Corridor down to Virginia and the West Coast kind of have a right? I mean, it's legally a done deal. You can't do it anymore.
Right.
That was taken care of after 1865.
Right.
But if you live in Washington, Oregon, Nevada, California, Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, don't you kind of have a right to look at the rest of the country and go, no, I'm not part of the same country you are anymore?
Well, and you got to think, the very states that you named are the states that help pay the bills in the federal government. Those are the ones that have the net plus in taxes that they collect to make up for the Confederacy that truly sucks the teat of government. They get billions in federal dollars every year to fund their states. And where do those federal dollars come from? All those liberal states.
I know. And
you know, if they want to play the ununited states of America, it's going to hurt them the worst.
Well, that's what all that unity talk was about. They got to have some cover.
Well, suck it, because that ain't the way it's going to work.
Get it somewhere else, sunshine.
That's right. And I'm sorry, he may be the president, but he ain't mine. He ain't my president. People are like, oh, he's not my president. I hate to tell you this, but he is.
Well, check me in the coming 4 years, Carol, because I don't think I'm going to be referring to him using that word.
No, it's
the president. The presidency is in exile, just like me.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and the word coalesce, no longer in my vocabulary.
And by the way, there's a new word out there. Chalxit. Chalxit.
Chalxit?
Chalxit. Chowxit.
Like Brexit, but what's that mean?
California, Hawaii, Oregon, Washington. Man, wouldn't the necks just... have a positive freak out if those gravy trains, those tax revenue gravy trains said, nah, sorry, we're not, no, you don't get the money.
Oh, absolutely.
And here's a question. For several months now, New York Times columnist Charles Blow has refused to use the pile of shit's name.
Mm-hmm.
Will the New York Times make him do it now?
I doubt it. He's a columnist.
The Huffington Post puts a disclaimer at the bottom of every article saying that the pile of shit is a racist, xenophobic bigot who incites people to do violence against others, yada, yada, yada. Is that going to stay at the bottom of their stories?
Oh, probably not.
Yeah, not that kind of courage, huh? Well, Carol, the phones are lighting up, dear. I think we've got people ready to engage in conversation.
Help yourselves.
And I thank you for joining.
I just wanted you to know I'm okay.
Well, I wanted to know that, and I really wanted you to come out here on the ledge with me because I'm still flicking cigarette butts at the Trumpansies.
Yeah, that's okay. They're easier to see now because they're carrying sparklers.
And they're making America great again. Are we great
yet? I woke up this morning. That's what I said. Is America great yet? Not so much.
Because I'm pretty sure...
You know, at least in California they can get high now. Here in Missouri, Stan, we still have... To go cold turkey the hate, you know.
So. I think you can get high high in Massachusetts now too, can't you?
Yeah, but I don't live there, baby.
No, me neither.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Well, go talk to our friends, and I'll see you all later.
All right. Take care, Carol.
Bye too. Bye.
The one, the only, the queen of the minions, the giver, Carol Baker. Lots of notes coming in. Let me try to work through some of them. Ron in the far frozen north says, I would add, the one bright light I've been able to salvage from this clusterfuck is that the outraged, heartbroken, and distressed voting group isn't the one with the arsenals and a sense of entitlement to destroy the system. We'll drown them in our tears. And I don't want to hear any shit from the people who voted for Jill Stein or that other libertarian fucker and patted themselves on their back for standing up for their beliefs. You own it. There are more of us than there are of them, especially if you add the Never Trump crowd who voted for Johnson and Stein. Yeah. So we're gonna talk this evening. Thank you very kindly, Frank. Frank just met Darlene's challenge. All by himself. Thank you, Frank. Hopefully we can carry that forward and keep working at it. I've never felt a greater sense of determination to see this little experiment in independent broadcasting go forward. And I'm going to stay at it. I'm not going to run away. I got nowhere to run to. I live in West Virginia. My back's been to the wall for a long damn time, okay? A long damn time. And I know a little bit about being an exile in your own land. So does any progressive who lives in a red state. Might be time to organize. Might be. Hey, let's run back over and check in with Arnold. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, Bob. Good evening. Wonderful program. Thank you for being there.
Thank you for all you do.
I just want to make a prediction that nothing gets done in the next 4 years. I know everybody. I've talked to a lot of friends, a lot of family. A lot of people are pretty scared, pretty angry, and I am as well. I'm all of the above, but I'm taking a gamble and saying they get nothing done. I don't see how they cast 40 million people into no health care again. They can't stop the food stamps because 62% of recipients are white from the South.
They also can't.
There's this many things.
If I may interrupt just a moment, they are the food stamp program SNAP also inures to the benefit of the American retail grocering industry, okay? Because those are food security dollars that are spent not at wholesale, Arnold, but at retail. And the single biggest recipient of that corporate welfare is
Walmart.
You think the boys in Bentonville are going to sign on to make America great again by cutting their own throats?
Fuck no. Ain't going to happen. And that's all we have, Bob, is the knowledge that some of what he is alleged to do really is supported by corporate America. There's no freaking way Walmart's going to say we want a pay cut unless this thing is more monstrous than we could all possibly imagine, and it's just kind of the population call America. If it's not that. If it's just business as usual with a moron at the helm, certain things aren't going to happen. And one of the things is they're not going to round up the Muslims. They're not going to round up the Mexicans. It's mechanically impossible to take 11 million people and put them anywhere.
Except, wait, Arnold. Except graves.
Well, yeah, except graves.
I mean, do you think the Trumpansies are capable of that? Because I do.
I do, and I also believe that, like Carol said, there's more of us than there is of them. I mean, he's not my president. I mean, if they want to bring that noise, really, there's a whole bunch of liberal people that are going to be like, fuck you. And, I'd proudly be one of them. I mean, I'd love to run somewhere else if anyone would like to have me in another country or a liberal state. At the same time, we're Americans. I was born with a set of ideals. I think that we represent each other. I don't mind if I go into a gas station owned by an Arab or Indian family or a black family or a white family. I don't give a fuck. I'm happy to participate in the melting pot that is this country. And I hate anybody. I hate the word hate, but I hate anybody who hates that concept.
Well, exactly. I mean, we're either all Americans or we're not. And the default position of the people who won last night, Arnold, is that some of us aren't. And I fucking reject that. I reject it out of hand. I reject it in its totality.
And you live in a place that's very beautiful, but unfortunately, the map went red quickly last night. And you had said that for months in advance that, basically, it didn't matter if they voted. It was going to go to Trump,
There's a, there are a lot of question marks in what's coming at us. I mean, I got one question. Now,
go ahead.
The good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals, I saw it for myself. They ran. They did not walk. They ran to the polls to make America great again yesterday.
Yep.
Part of the reason they were running was because of all the millions of precious little fetuses they were going to save. Now,
yep.
Here's a question. What happens if they do what they say they're going to do and they flat out take away a woman's right to choose? For a long time, they have... Well, I lost Arnold. Damn it. For a long time, they have... pursued a state-by-state strategy because, well, that seemed to be getting them further than a national strategy. But if they can get themselves a 5-4 or a 6-3 on the Supreme Court, well, things get a little different then, don't they? Roe versus Wade, completely overturned. And all the precious little Christians will just celebrate that golden jubilee day because the fetuses have been saved. Glory! It is, after all, Wednesday. I didn't forget. Heh! But what happens to that voting base, which is about all the Republicans have left, once all the fetuses are safe? What happens when that issue isn't there to whip them into a white, and I do mean white, hot frenzy every 4 years? What happens when there's no need to go every January and stand in the freezing cold in Washington, D.C., trying to make government small enough to fit into a woman's vagina? What happens then? I'm sorry I lost you there, Arnold, but it was a great conversation, and I look forward to more. Let's go now and check in with Vince. Hey, Vince.
Hey, Bob. What's going on, sir?
I'm trying to be okay. How about you?
On the plus side, I should be being liberated from that Sharia law any day now.
Yeah.
Remember, I'm close to Dearborn.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're not going to have to bow toward Mecca every five times a day, are you?
Dude, I don't... Okay, first of all, we know that for the most part, life has made me busy. I used to be a religious follower of your show. I tune in every once in a while, but for the most part, I only chime in during nights like this. So I don't know really where you stand in terms of Bernie and the DNC and everything, but... me personally, that's where I put the blame on this. Not Bernie, but with the DNC. They went and entered into a suicide pact in 2008 with Hillary Clinton, I am convinced. And we now see the results of that. They could have run a potted plant and it would have beat Trump. To be fair, Trump, the Republicans could have run a potted plant and beaten Hillary. It's just a very sad state of affairs, and the leadership of the Democratic Party has got to understand after this that you need to listen to your base. They didn't. Do we not remember during the primary season when we were seeing the rallies that Bernie Sanders was doing? And the crowds he was drawing, he was filling stadiums. And they basically would take all of Clinton's supporters and stick them in the back of a room and point a camera at them to make it look bigger than it really was.
I think there's some validity to some of that, Vince. But I'm not willing to say that if we had run Bernie, we would have won this.
I disagree.
This is an America that is hell-bent on fascism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They had the Trumpanzees had the Klan. they had the neo-Nazis. And there are a lot more of them in this country than we think there are. And they leveraged hate, and they leveraged racism. And that's a profound motivator of people.
I know too many people, and I disagree with them vehemently. I think they're stupid. I have told them this to their face. I know too many people who voted for Bernie Sanders in the primary who voted Trump in the general. I know too many of them to believe that's not what happened. And me and my dad, who I will get to in a moment, because we had a conversation today that has shaken me to my fundamental core here in terms of my values, but I'll get to that in a moment. But we have been saying for months that, you know, the polls are saying that she's going to win. The polls are saying it's a lock. Everybody's laughing at him. And the whole time we were saying, we know too many people who are just pissed off at everybody and don't trust her. We know too many people who voted for Bernie who are not going to vote for Clinton and are going to vote either third party or vote for Trump. And I mean, you could be wrong. I know
some of those things that you're talking about, Vince. I mean, here in West Virginia, Bernie absolutely stomped Hillary Clinton. All right. But a lot of those voters were said coming out of the polls on the primary, we're voting for Trump in November. Even if Bernie had been nominated.
Oh, you think they were just spoiling the vote to get Hillary in because they thought she was more beatable?
I think they were taking their chance to get in a vote against Hillary each and every time the opportunity presented itself. and the irrelevant hilarians in the deep South, you know, they were with her. Never mind the fact that they were never going to make a difference for her because, again, deep South.
Oh, I hear you. Remember, I lived in Georgia for the better part of what?
I will remember the Wendy's Frosty conversation from many moons ago.
So I was talking to my dad, and my dad is, as I've alluded to in previous conversations here, dyed-in-the-wool blue. And we were talking today, and he just said, I'm done. I have been fighting since the 1960s, and I finally come to realize that the country is as bad now as it was then, and nothing that we have done has made any difference. I didn't have an answer to him. I tried to say that, you know, we made a difference for a minute, and he said, what difference? And I pointed out repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I pointed out the ACA, which was a mistake because my dad hates the ACA. He thinks it was just a boon for the insurance companies. But I said to him, you know, look, I agree that sucks, but you got to start somewhere. And I know people who are going to lose their insurance, who will not be able to get coverage. And
oh, at this point in time, I'm just one great big ball of pre-existing condition.
I'm not that far from it myself. And, you know, and my dad looked at me and he said, Vince, give it 1 year. The only evidence there will be that there was ever an Obama presidency is going to be the painting on the wall of the White House if Trump doesn't have it removed.
That's possibly true. Very possibly.
I just didn't know what to say to that. I also have very little faith that the Democrats are going to do what they need to do, in my opinion, at this point, which is turn around and do to them what they did to us. You want to sit here and you want to talk
right.
about
Well, no, right, because we're the grown-ups, Vince. You know, we've got to have government. The Democrats won't shut down the government. The Democrats will filibuster until they get a hard look from chinless Mitch McConnell, and then it's over. Hey, Vince, I got people calling left and right, and I want to try to get everybody. I'm so glad you called. Please, please, let's continue this conversation.
Yeah, no. I know. I'm sure there's a lot of people wanting to get in. Feel free.
All right. Take care. Bye now.
Take it easy, sir. Bye.
Calling now, and he he has a rather unique take on what happened last night, because on several occasions you heard me banter back and forth with a delightful fellow named Eric Bjorn down in South Carolina stand. You may recall Pastor Pillow. We had some lovely Wednesdays, and this is another Wednesday. But Eric just got done running a campaign for Congress. He took the torch in his hand, and he stood up against Joe Uli Wilson down in South Carolina. I wish the outcome had been better than it was. But Eric joins us now. Eric, it's so good to talk to you.
Bob, long time no hear.
Too long.
And guess what? He's no longer Joe Uli Wilson. He's Joe Helies Wilson.
Ah, very true. Because he just outright bald-faced lied in your debate, didn't he?
He did. We had a debate on public television on the PBS station down here, South Carolina Educational TV, and he bald-faced. I like to say he got caught red state-handed.
Very nice.
He on his vote on the Violence Against Women Act. Charles Bierbauer, who is a venerable reporter, former CNN bureau chief in Asia, lives down here in South Carolina. As a moderator, he asked Joe what he thinks about Donald Trump, and he said, "Well, Donald was my fifth choice," and blah blah blah. And then the ball got tossed to me, the hot potato, and I said, "Well, I just don't see how you could ever stand beside a man who advocates sexual violence against women." And I said, "Well, you ought to know that, Congressman, of course, because you voted against the Violence Against Women Act." And he said, "No, I voted for it." I said, "Oh my, this is TV." that surely will be recorded and checked by the fact checkers.
And how did that fact checking work out? Eric? Oh, Eric. Are we going to have internet fun tonight? Let's try this again. Ah, he's trying me again. I don't know what happened there, Eric, but you're back.
I think we're going to have to lay that one on the table of the NSA.
Probably, but I was asking you, how did the fact checking work out? He did lie, didn't he?
Oh, he did. It was great. You know, I used to be a closed caption editor when I lived in Washington, D.C. The first thing I did is I contacted somebody I knew that recorded and said, "Take still shots of the closed captions on your DVR." And sure enough, there it is. Joe saying, "No, I voted for the bill." And I said, "No, we'll let the fact checkers check it out." And of course, a simple Google search, he voted against it. But 2 days later, he showed up at a large gathering of domestic abuse survivors and misled them again about his support. There you go. So he's no longer Joe Uli Wilson. He's Joe Helies Wilson. But dang it, if the Republicans didn't steal the whole kit and caboodle, Bob. But I'm proud of our campaign. You know, we have got South Carolina Congressional District 2 happens to be probably one of the top five most difficult districts in the United States to win for a Democrat or a progressive. Plain and simply is. And I think the base, the Democratic base here is a mere 23%. We actually, you know, amidst the tsunami wave of Republicans, we actually did 34% yesterday. We went 6 points over base when the rest of the entire country got clobbered. So we had a very spirited campaign that resonated deeply with the voters. We pulled over 6% in a day in an election that was almost impossible to do. So, not bad for Pastor Pillow.
No, not bad at all. But it's still got to feel like pretty much a cold hamburger today.
I don't know. Some people. Well, yes. I mean, I took my 8-year-old daughter, Kat, who I like to tell people she's my campaign manager and she works for M&M's. We had a wonderful time with my little girl during this campaign, and she's learned so many things. But she woke up this morning and came into the bedroom and said, "Daddy, did you win?" And I said, "No, I did not." And she said, "Did Donald Trump win?" And I said, "Yes, he did." And she broke down in tears. I couldn't help but cry with her. I mean, the United States of America slit its wrists last night.
Pretty strong language that's pretty strong language coming from you, Eric. I mean, when you make a statement like that, what do you mean?
Well, we made the wrong choice. We made the worst possible choice. We made a choice. I mean, the inauguration is going to look like a NASCAR event. I mean, it won't be 90 days into the administration, and we'll be back to pre-existing condition health care. We'll have who knows, we might have Sarah Palin on the bench on the Supreme Court. I mean, it's like the prequel to Idiocracy.
By the way, just for anybody wondering, you're not joking, because among other things, there is no requirement that a member of the Supreme Court even have a law degree.
Right. No, he could appoint Melania. He could appoint himself. I mean, oh, God, Bob, what have we done? I mean, do you remember those days back in your teenage years when we all did something that was just so stupid that we just stared down at our shoes and went, oh, Jesus Christ, what have we done? What have I done? That's what happened last night.
And I don't want to give this election a legitimacy, Eric, that it might not necessarily deserve. For instance, Wisconsin. Trump won it by 27,000 votes. Well, up in Wisconsin, 300,000 registered voters lacked the strict voter ID that was imposed there.
Well, there you go. What do we get?
North Carolina, Texas.
Get struck down?
Right. I mean, this all traces back to the great getting up morning that Justice John Roberts imposed upon us. We're going to be a while sorting some of this shit out. And the sorting may be ugly. Now, I'm getting information that people are beginning to march all over this country. They're marching in Chicago. They're marching in Austin. They're marching in New York City, down at Columbus Square. And it's going to... I don't know if we can sustain the energy.
We must be on the trail of discovery since the NSA keeps cutting us off.
I think we must. But what I was saying, Eric, is they're beginning to march all across the country. And
well, which side?
Our side.
Oh, good.
I mean, the Klan went on a march in North Carolina across an interstate overpass, but no, they're. I'm told that. Outside.
Well, I thought that was just the linen hanging out to dry.
Yeah, well, you could make that mistake living where you live.
I'll tell you what, Bob, when I first moved down here in 2003, January 2003, the first MLK day that I lived down here, I drove past the South Carolina State House, and of course, the Confederate flag was flying at that time. But on the steps of the State House were all the Grand Wizards or whatever they are in their pointy cap, white sheets. And I stopped my car in the middle of the road and just slammed to the halt and just looked and stared and went, where the hell am I? I felt like I had landed on Mars.
Toto, we're in a very different place now. Yes.
Right. Well, we worked so hard to get that flag down, and now there's an orange toupee flying over the nation. Oh,
I know. Meanwhile, because we are in permanent campaign mode, because it's so very good for people like the New York Times and CBS and ABC, etc. That's the campaign cash is a form of corporate welfare for the for-profit media.
It certainly is.
It's okay to kind of look forward to 2018, and if you don't like what's coming, that's your next chance to do something about it, because among other things, 25 Democratic seats are up for re-election as compared to only 9, and that's in the United States Senate.
Well, let's think about this. The print media down here in South Carolina was very favorable and fair and covered the race very well. The TV media, one of the local CBS affiliates, I think, gave Joe a 30-minute a 30-minute solo interview and did not give me 1 second. The TV media here couldn't have been more unkind to me. Why? Because I'm not a candidate with a lot of cash. If I don't have a lot of cash, what don't I do? I don't run media ads on TV. My goodness, they were unfavorable to me. But you're right. I mean, that's what it's all about. At the end of the day, campaigns are all about cash that keep media, and there's all sorts of other jobs that depend on campaign money. It's an industry, right? I mean, and it's a big industry. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. And if you are a candidate who says, you know, I'd rather spend my time engaging voters than spending trillions on television ads, you will be outright rejected by the machinery around you. And that's exactly what happened to us. But you know what I did, Bob? I did it my own way. I'm pretty good at social media, as you know.
Yes, you are.
We had 305,000 people come to our Facebook page in the last 7 days. That is not an easy task.
No.
We spent about 1/100th on what you'd spend on a TV campaign and had the same audience. So TV doesn't like us. But we figured out how to get people's attention and attract them over in a year when Republicans, you know, ransacked the pantry. It's just depressing, Bob.
It is. And,
you know, on a personal level, you put eight months into a campaign where you work 18-hour days. And then it's like Paul Revere ran through the, you know, rode through the streets last night and told everybody, all the Republicans to show up and vote.
And look, there's no getting around that the top of the ticket drove that.
Right. If the election had been held 24 hours after the last debate, we'd be singing a different tune tonight, but we weren't. I think what it does is it demonstrates that the electorate, you know, people forget pretty quickly. Donald Trump made an absolute arse of himself over the course of the debate periods, in the spectrum of the debate. He couldn't have come off worse, and that was in the midst of the hot mic, you know, scandal and everything. But all it took was 2 weeks for everybody to forget what kind of a disgusting pig he is. And one more volley of email Hillary, and that was it.
So thank you, James Comey.
Yes.
But Barack Obama, who always looks forward and not back, wouldn't dare to fire James Comey.
Nope.
I mean, nope. Harry Truman fired MacArthur for less than what James Comey did meddling in this election. By the way,
maybe he'll be the new Supreme Court justice, huh?
I'm told that the lower house of the Russian Parliament broke into a standing ovation when they were told that Trump had been elected. And did you know that there's a guided missile cruiser off the Mediterranean coast of Syria right now?
Oh my God, all anybody has to do is tickle Donald's feet and we're at war.
And meanwhile, the Soviet Union has sent the one aircraft carrier that it owns. I mean, Russia, not the Soviet Union. Right. Wishful thinking, I guess. The Russians have sent the one lone aircraft carrier they have to begin airstrikes on Aleppo, indiscriminately slaughtering women and children.
Yeah,
non-combatants.
So that Putin can flex his muscles. It's like Trump and Putin are courting each other, and they're going to ride a bear off into the Siberian forest as soon as they get a chance. I mean, you know, that moment where Miss Piggy and Kermit run across the field. I mean, my God, I just never were there two men. I'm a fresh congressional candidate, so I need to be careful what I say. But I'm spirited and upset. I'm upset that my country slit its wrists last night. Donald Trump is the least presidential candidate. Oh, my God. What have we done, Bob? It's like, I mean, you know, Pastor Pillow, for those who listened over time, you know, I created a satirical character of Pastor Pillow. He's part Joel Osteen, part Jimmy Swagger, part Beverly Hillbillies. I mean, that fictional reality that I spent 3 years writing about, it's like it came true. I mean, I did Pastor Pillow episodes with Donald Trump.
Yes, you did.
I mean, there's like three or four of them where Donald Trump was a character in Pastor Pillow.
Did you catch John Oliver's bit last weekend where he found the clip where he begged Donald Trump to run for president?
He hasn't been rounded up yet.
Yeah, I know. Well, Eric, going forward, all we got in common is our misery, and the least we can do is share it. I may have to go get that tattooed on the back of my neck, or maybe on my forehead in reverse.
Put it in Arabic, just to make a statement.
that's not bad at all. But don't be a stranger. You're done with the campaign now, and I look forward to hearing your thinking, because you're one of those tough-hided root hog or die tough hide last the longest progressives in a red state. There are things that the shocked liberals out in what they thought were liberal places can learn from you.
I'll tell you what, Bob, in 8 months of campaigning, and I'm an educated critical thinker. You know, my training, I'm a public librarian. I learned more in 8 months in this campaign. I mean, my goodness, the things that I know about the Democratic Party, about the process of the political process. I mean, I am so glad that I did this, because I don't know that there are too many people who can go through this and then are willing to sort of share about what it's like and the discoveries that you can make along the way. People, you got to get ready. If you are left of center, hold fast, hold on, grab hold of something, hold on for dear life, and then get ready to fight with everything you have.
Because it's going to take it.
Listen, we are already going to lose 2 decades or 3 decades of progress, but if we don't work our butts off, we'll lose a century.
Or maybe 150, or maybe a century in 55 years.
Well, that's exactly, Bob.
I mean, we're talking 56 years. We're talking about, I know, the comparison is unfair, but this feels like a country that's trying to tear itself apart.
Well, you know, it's a small network of diehard, you know, dyed-in-the-wool progressives that sort of have media, our subterranean media voices. Whether it was Foreign Progressives or, you're the Horn or Carol Baker or my friend Alyssa Fuchs in New York and her radio station. I mean, we all kind of are connected across the country. And what I find everybody suddenly doing today is checking in with one another, going, all right, everybody hold tight. Because we got work to do as soon as the first wave hits. And that's the thing. Everybody get ready. You've got something to do. If you don't do it, it's only going to get worse.
And this is the great moment where perhaps, if we're to succeed, we will finally understand that all progressive causes are one big single cause that gets filed under human rights.
Right. You know, that was the mantra of our campaign, Bob, and it's why we were so hated by the establishment. Our mantra was, human rights are human rights. and below that was, there is no season for human rights. Human rights are human rights 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365, one quarter days a year. There is no exception. Human rights are human rights. And boy, oh boy, did that upset people. Can you imagine? I mean, if that's not the heart of the Democratic Party platform, what the hell is? If I can't quote Dr. King.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, there's certain elements of that. Look, I'm not giving a pass to the DNC. I'm also not playing the silly ass games that I've seen played earlier today. There's fault. There's fault aplenty to go around. But we do have a problem. We have a problem with an elitist core in the Democratic Party that likes to quote Dr. King, but only when it's suitable to them, and only when it's the sort of Black Santa Claus Dr. King that they only celebrate once a year.
Oh, Lord, don't tell me that Dr. King was actually a pacifist. Oh, Lord, don't tell me that he actually was an anti-corporatist. No, don't show me the fool, Dr. King. Oh, no.
And don't anybody dare run that Riverside Church speech that he gave almost a year to the day, wasn't it, before he was killed.
No. I'm just sitting here in my seersucker suit and sipping sweet tea. Now, don't go ruining all my fantasies of the country club Democratic Party. Bob, the thing is, it runs deep. It runs so deep. And there are days when you think it's nothing more than Republican light. And I mean that.
Well, and they are. And between them and the cruise missile liberals, not a lot there to love.
Well, there's nothing like a hawkish Democrat to ruin your progressive day at the beach.
Oh, day at the beach. I need a month at the beach.
Well, I guess, it hurts the head. It hurts the head to think President Trump. I think that's the only time in my life. In fact, I make a vow. I'll never say those words again. I said it one time on your radio station. I'll never say it. I will never call him president again. I just won't.
No, I can't. Eric, I have committed to being quite coarse about this. He will be that pile of shit for as long, to me, as in reference and in my heart, for as long as I'm broadcasting and for as long as he is occupying the White House.
Well, he called women a pile of shit, so why not? I mean, you know.
Sauce, gander, sauce, goose.
My daughter saw one of his quotes typed out about women, and he said, she said, Papa, he called women poop, the bad word for poop. And I said, yes, he did. She said, but that's me.
Isn't it tough when you have to look at a child and say, yes, and some people are mean and hateful, and he's a mean and hateful man.
And sometimes tens of millions of people vote for a mean and hateful man. And we are just...
My kids are grown.
Maybe we just need...
I don't know how you're going to handle this. You've got a lot of patient explaining to do.
I know. Maybe we just have to wake up and admit that we are a mean and hateful country.
Half of us are.
Well, listen, half rounds up to one, doesn't it?
Yeah, when you get there, it does, doesn't it? And your math.
That's what we're taught, right? Half rounds up to one. Maybe we're just a mean and hateful country, and we have to, I think maybe my last pearl of supposed wisdom, I've had dozens and dozens and dozens of voters just looking for some answer, going, why do you think? Here's the deal. The hate was already there. It was spread across the country, Sea to Shining Sea of 350 million people. Donald Trump was the crucible that raised the hate up. It's now made manifest. It's clear. It's there. It was always there. It just needed the crucible of 2016. Now it's just right in front of our face.
This was just a curtain being drawn back.
Right. Well, if there's anything positive about all of this, it's that the thing that was there but hard to identify is now clearly made manifest before us. There is the hate before us, incarnate, made manifest. Donald J. Trump and all who support him, that hate has finally become clear and visible, and maybe just once and for all, we can knock it down.
Well, you got to get it out in the open before you can. Yeah. Well, let me offer you, because I know you're a lover of letters. Let me give you a couple of acronyms that have landed here recently. I mentioned that pile of shit in the White House. And Stockton Larry in the chat room just said, pile of shit Trump, P-O-S-T. So P-O-S-T. just refer to him as Post.
I like it.
Meanwhile, last night...
Wait, that brings a totally new interpretation to Post, hole digger.
Yes, it does. Meanwhile, we came up with another one last night. The Congressional Oligarch Media Military Industrial Experiment.
Oh, my goodness. Well, give me the acronym there.
Commie.
The commie. How about commie in chief? Now, there, I could probably refer to him as that. Oh my goodness! Well, the good news is, I you know what occurred to me today, Bob, was that all of this was a diabolical conspiracy to boost the legacy of George W. Bush.
He's looking better all the time, isn't he?
I know, isn't he? George W. Bush now looks like Mother Teresa and Malala. I mean, man. No wonder Barbara was hating on Donald so much.
Well, Carol has been sending me proofs for, while we've been talking, proofs for upcoming White House Christmas cards.
I'm sure.
The one with melanoma. Laying on the bearskin rug, bare butt naked. The Baptists are going to love that, Eric.
Well, at least half of them.
You never know what goes on when the door closes.
Hey, I mean, that and the bottle of old granddad, you never know.
Old Panther. Except no substitutes.
Lord, I almost broke into some passive pillow, man.
It, very nearly.
Maybe I need to resurrect Pastor Pillow.
I think it's time for Pastor Pillow to come out and play again.
Well, I think Pastor Pillow and you know, and the president's always had a personal pastor. I mean, for many years, you know, most presidents chose Billy Graham. But it may be that Donald J. Trump, the commie in chief, I'll select Pastor Pillow to be my personal spiritual advisor. Oh, man, Bob. Well.
Wowzer. Well, Eric, I'm so glad you called in. Thanks for fighting. Thank you for fighting the good fight you fought.
I appreciate that. I really tried to be a representative. The people of South Carolina Congressional District 2 and thus still would have represented the people of West Virginia and everywhere in the country if I'd won.
Yep. I think we lost Eric again. Did we, Eric? Yep. Well, hopefully we'll get him back. Let me see here. If you're dialing in... And, man, people are dialing and dialing and dialing and dialing. If you're dialing in, hold on just a minute, please. I've got I think part of the problem here was the connection that Skype was using. I really didn't want to see it use that. All right, let's check in with Scott and Punky. Hold on just a minute, though. We'll get to the email in a minute. Hey, Scott. Oh, Scott. Oh, I hate it when this happens. Let's try this again. Oh, Scott.
Yeah, there we go.
There you are.
Somehow I got cut off. But that's all right.
I think it might have been because I was changing wireless connections.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bob, here we are. the next day, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And from what you've said thus far, and last night in the Horn overtime session, I get the distinct impression that you're not doing well, that none of this is sitting well with you.
Well, I'd be a little crazy if it was.
Okay, well...
No, I'd be a lot crazy.
I will give you all the space you could possibly need or use to work through that. And maybe it'll never come to pass that you'll be okay with it, or at least in a space where you can dance to the tune that is now or soon going to be playing. But I encourage everyone to take as much time as you need, within reason, to absorb the enormity of what has occurred. But don't get stuck there, would be my byword to anybody who's interested in knowing what my byword is. Do not refuse all temptations to get stuck in the mindset that all is lost, there's nothing we can do about it, because there's always something we can do about it. And as far as Trump, or as you call him, the orange pile of, what do you call him?
We're just calling him Post. Okay. Pile of shit Trump.
As far as the notion of President-elect Trump, or yea, verily, even President Trump, there, I said it. God damn it, I'm proud of it, that I have at least that much courage. The notion of him does not cause immediate alarm with me, because I'm old enough and I've been around long enough to have experienced a number of things, a vast number of things, personally and politically, that are as bad, or in some cases even seemingly worse, than the place where we now find ourselves. And I know that sounds Pollyanna, I know that sounds unicorn sparkly farts, but Bob, I'm telling you, there is no other way to be in proximity to where we find ourselves than to embrace it, as hard as that might be, to allow it to be, because it's going to be anyway, whether we allow it or not, and then marvel when a space opens up for the creation of a new and better what is to replace the current what is. Trust me and believe me that is the only way we're going to move forward out of this morass. And believe me, I have tried all manner of ways to deal with shit that has happened, and this one I've found from personal experience works best. And again, take as much time as you need within reason to process it, and to figure it out, and to sort it out, and to be as okay as you can be with it. But do not, I repeat, do not get stuck there, because there is still a lot of stuff to be done that can be done, even in the context and in the framework of a President Trump, and a GOP House, and a GOP Senate, and by all appearances, a GOP Supreme Court. We are better than our circumstances. We are stronger than our circumstances. We are great people who can do great things. But step number one is to understand that, to realize that, to hang on to it, and then to behave in a manner that's consistent with being the great people that we are. So that's my sermonette for today.
Well, and good luck with that. My concern now is figuring out a way, and people are already manifesting it. I saw earlier Austin is on a lockdown. They're protesting all over the country. They're protesting in Seattle. They're protesting in Oakland. We dare not risk anything resembling legitimizing the advent of fascism in this country. I will not cooperate, and I will not collaborate.
No, I don't advocate that. I sincerely don't. But what I understand is, I understand that you're resistant to the notion of taking their hand and singing Kumbaya, but think of it. You can give an appearance of participation, okay, without selling out. Because when you're grabbing one hand, that makes them 50% less effective because you've tied up one of their hands that they would otherwise use to strangle you with.
Does that matter when they've got a shiv in the other? And then, and when they reach around your back to hug you, that they slip it between your ribs?
Well, maybe it will and maybe it won't. But I'm telling you, it is not as dark as a picture as you're painting. Okay? And, Jesus, I mean, I lived through the Cold War where on any given day, the idea of a Soviet ICBM hitting Washington, D.C., 4 miles north of where I lived, was a distinct possibility. I lived through the election of President Kennedy and seeing him get his goddamn brains blown out in the streets of Dallas. Other political assassinations in the 60s, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Bobby Kennedy. Okay, and then the cherry on top of the shit sundae of the decade of the 60s was Richard, for God's sake, Nixon getting elected and then reelected as president of the United States. And I made it through Ford, and I made it through Carter, and I made it through Reagan. Good God. We thought that would never end.
And I don't think any of those things compare to this, Scott.
Well,
Because I lived through the Cold War, too.
Okay, well, I understand that. You're just a little younger than I am.
I was an unaware baby when Kennedy was killed. I was a five-year-old when Bobby and Dr. King were killed. I was politically aware during the Nixon presidency, but, you know, the one thing that kind of kept Nixon in check is he never had a Congress.
I know.
Bush had one, but Bush was too much of a... well, I mean, there was still old guard GOP in him. This isn't that.
Which
this
Bush?
Is real.
The first one or the
second
or the
one? The second one.
Okay.
The second one. And so, you know, and there were efforts made to stop him. And some failed and some succeeded. I mean, we still got Social Security, even though in January 2005 said, I'm going to use some of my political capital. And we're going to privatize Social Security. Well, that got stopped.
I remember that, Bob, because I would have been directly impacted by that had they done it. So I was watching that as well.
And you know, while we're at it, as Mark reminds me, the ICBMs are still aimed at us.
Of course. Of course.
And I don't think having his puppet in the White House is going to make Vladimir Putin a nicer guy. He's still a thug.
Granted.
And they really are gearing up for a massive, for massive scale airstrikes on Syria. And that's going to be a problem.
And I hope that's something that Obama talks with Trump about when they're having tea, when they get together in the next couple of days. I get that. I truly do.
Do you? I'm asking. I'm not arguing. Do
okay.
you honestly think that the Post gives a single tinker's damn what a man that he swore up and down was a secret Kenyan Muslim thinks? Do you think that the Post thinks that he has anything to tell him about being president? I mean, I don't call this man Benito Cheeto and the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini for no reason at all.
That's a very good question, Bob. And I think that part of him probably doesn't have any more respect for Trump than I do a cockroach. I mean, for Obama than I do a cockroach. But on the other hand, the man has been in a position that Trump will soon assume in the next couple of months. He's been in that position for 8 years. So even Trump, I think, would acknowledge that there is something to learn from Obama. I truly think that, okay? I could be wrong, but I do think it.
Well, you're getting some pushback here. I got a note from Kim.
I always get pushback.
You're getting a note from Kim in New Jersey. Yes,
okay.
It is as dark as we are painting, mainly because when I lose my marriage equality, it will be forever. Yes, I will return to being a second-class citizen for the rest of my life. Yes, for the rest of my life. Signed, Malin and Kim in New Jersey.
Okay, and I concur with Kim right up to the point of saying, if that does come to pass. But what is Trump's history when it comes to same-sex marriage equality? We do have a fair inkling that there are two things that he didn't do in his remarks to his supporters and to the world last night. Number one thing that he didn't do was to thank Jesus for the fact that he was there. And if Jesus were around, I would probably thank Jesus for that too, because that was a good sign. The other good sign was nowhere in his remarks last night was the phrase, and we'll do this at the expense of same-sex marriage equality people in and around the land. Okay? I guess all of us could get upset at what is remotely possible that will occur, okay? But that just scatters our effectiveness. I mean, these folks marching, more power to them. I've marched more than a few times myself, all up and down the West Coast and in other parts of the country. But my way of thinking is, why should I make their job any easier? Why should the marchers make the bad people's job any easier by showing up and get gathered in a group where it's easier for them to be rounded up? And now may not be the time to march. Now may be the time to process it and grasp it and get our heads and hearts around it. And then once we've done that, then to take whatever actions are appropriate. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying give up and you know, you know, it seems dark if your eyes aren't wide open. Maybe that's what I'm saying. And my eyes are wide open. I see it for what it is. And while I may not be okay with it, the fact still remains it is what it is, but it also ain't what it ain't. Okay? And that will be our secret weapon in the days and years ahead, is to be completely clear on what is happening and what ain't happening, and then weigh the likelihoods of any number of possible what's next is. And I'm sorry if I'm adamant about it, but from where I'm sitting now, that's just how it looks. And yeah, it's easy for it to look that way because I'm in California, which is a way different state than West Virginia or Missouri or, God, Kansas. Okay, I understand that. I know.
Well, and understand, Kim and Malin are not writing from Alabama, okay? They're writing from New Jersey. And as Kim points out, it's the Supreme Court that will do his dirty work. He didn't have to say anything about marriage equality last night.
All right. And I thought about that, and I understand that. I get that that is a possibility, but it's only a possibility in reality if it comes to pass. And that's the crux of the matter. We've got to head him off wherever we can, because just because the Democrat didn't win doesn't automatically discount Democratic principles. And I'll put my hand out and support him in any way that I can, but I sure as hell will not support him if it comes at the expense of giving up my principles as a cognizant human being, okay? Let me just make that clear.
Well, you just got a note from Clarence, who, subject line, terrified. Bob, my main concern is the DOJ. The possibility of a Christie and Giuliani heading the Attorney General and FBI is terrifying. I'm an African-American that has to live under the proposed national stop and frisk laws. Meanwhile, Jack says, this is really hard to listen to. I'm in shock. I'm not ready to hear this yet.
I get that. I do. And maybe my comments are premature, but to the extent that I can, I want to encourage people who are able to do it to quickly get their heads and hearts around it and then proceed from a position of strength and authority as decent human beings, girding our loins, if you will, for the battles that certainly lie ahead. Now, I guess maybe that's the bottom line of the remarks, even though maybe I should have myself given it a few days. But, and pardon me for being a where's the pony kind of guy, but it got me through a lot of things, you know, up to and including a fucking brain tumor. So, anyway, thanks for letting me chime in. I'll free the line, so you, unless you want to talk a little more.
No. We got people constantly dialing this whole time, so.
Okay. All right, Bob. Well, anyway, it's going to be okay. It may not look like it, but trust me, it is going to be okay, or at least a not okay that we can learn to live with and dance with and possibly change.
All right. Well, Scott, you take care.
Okay, man. See ya.
Bye now. Scott, and I guess Punky was in the other room. Jeremy in Vermont pointing out, Pence is already on record saying pile of shit will be an anti-LGBT president. The article is already written and will appear in a magazine next week. I forget which one. Forgive my memory. Oh, it's coming. And I'm sorry, I can't get all I can't get all starry-eyed and think that I do not have Annie queued up singing "The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow." Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Nope, sorry, can't do it. I got a ton of mail here to get to. I've got people still on the line, and I'm going to get to everybody if you'll just stay connected. Kim says, Scott is not living in our reality. It's not going to be okay for some of us. And I know that. And my heart is breaking. They're coming. And don't you doubt one minute that they're coming. And we're going to have to pin all of our hopes on a couple of senators having enough guts to gather more senators in with them and stop the new Scalia. And I'm not a praying person, but if you are, pray for the good health of the four so-called liberal justices on the Supreme Court. Man, if you're tired, I can't imagine what it must be to be one of those liberal justices who was hoping against hope to finally get to retire. You know, they say that the Supreme Court is a lifetime appointment. There are those who have said it's a life sentence. Like I said, a bunch of email to go through. Steve in China says, let's see, Trump University civil case set for 28 November in San Diego, right? And the AG of New York has a similar case on the docket. Yes. Then there's Trump's own claim to pursue a lawsuit against a dozen or so women who accuse him in one way or another of sexual harassment. Okay, just getting it as straight as I can. When does the immunity of prosecution while in office thing kick in anyway? While in office. Does that apply to civil and criminal law? Well, no, that applies to criminal law. Civil stuff, I mean, you know, they deposed Bill Clinton. Oh, well, says Steve. Lock him up! Yeah. Bill says, Bob, so glad you missed the five today on the Fox Network. They discussed how Trump will bring back the coal industry. Instead of punishing coal like the liberals do, Trump will give incentives to make clean coal. Problem over. Glad you missed that one. Epic, especially today. Take care, Bill. Thanks, Bill. Wasn't anything I haven't been hearing. Oh, they're already getting, we've got a wall and we're getting great again, and they're already cracking the lash over those little Keebler coal elves deep under the earth here in Appalachia, because they're going to make them make some more coal. It is a fair question to ask what happens when none of this, you know, when the coal industry doesn't rebound, because it's not going to. You can't rebound something that isn't there. Yeah, by the way, quick update, courtesy of Ron in the far frozen north. There were 30,000 Stein voters in Wisconsin who, but for their purity, could have put Wisconsin in the Democrat column. Oopsie. maybe I was premature in saying that they were completely irrelevant. By the way, I had a note from David in Vermont. He said, I want to offer another $100 matching challenge. And that is on the table right now at 5 minutes after 8 p.m. And so David is putting forward 100 to match the next 100 that come in. Because we are going, we're going to be here. We're going to survive. This is going to, this has been at times, and was during the reign of error, one of the still small voices crying in the wilderness. And I plan for that to continue. And it only continues as long as there is support for what we do here. For the conversation that I hope we facilitate in good faith. So there's a $100 challenge courtesy of David in Vermont on the table. Thank you very kindly. Thank you, David. I hope it will be matched. Look, I'm going to take a quick break. If you're on the line, stay on the line. I'm going to take a quick break, though, to get another swig of ginger ale and keep all of this going. You're listening to The Horn. Otherwise, on an ordinary day, this would be Friday. This would be prayer meeting Wednesday. Maybe it still is. But the conversation will continue. And we will support each other as we march into, deeper into the nightmare. As we cast our gaze about this brave new world. And as we feel the licking tongues of flame from a hell on earth that slightly less than half of the people of this country created, that was created by a people who voted for a presidential candidate who, remember, did not carry the popular vote. I know we say a lot of bad stuff about Andrew Jackson, but that man wanted to get rid of the Electoral College back in the middle of the 19th century. Somehow or another, we never got around to paying attention. All right, this is The Horn. Hopefully you will meet David in Vermont's challenge. I'll be back in a minute. I'm Bob.
Listen to me, people. Don't make me shout. Life's a motherfucker, you got nothing to complain about. You get the blues in reverse. Yeah, when things can't get no better, it ain't gonna get worse. I don't know what I'm doing. I can tell you it's working. Everybody else choking their chicken, man. I'm a firkin. So I got the blues in reverse. Well, when things can't get no better, it only gonna get worse. Prism, they bought me a Cadillac. Bought a mobile home, they brung me a 5-bedroom love shack. So I got the blues in reverse. I said, when things can't get no better, good God, they bound to give up. Thank you. sir, listen to me, people. Don't make me holler. Someone would break my heart. I'd give them a dollar. Cause I got the blues in reverse. Oh, when things can't get up, but I hope the room ain't gonna give way.
So often the case with music that I select, seemed appropriate. That was the one and only Phil Lee and the blues in reverse. Yeah, worked, didn't it? The feelings are harsh and hard and bitter. Note here from Greg in Iowa, which I will read in its entirety. Greg in Iowa writes, the people who let down the left are the women who voted for Hillary because she had a vagina, and the uninformed black people who voted for her in the South during the primaries. The black intellectuals such as Cornel West were for Bernie. Bernie was the real deal and would have appealed to many of Trump's voters. I supported Bernie. I think Trump is a dumbass, a chump, but he might be able to break the political machine, which is my hope. If Hillary got in, she would have thought the system was working just fine. It's not fucking working. That's all caps. Here are the reasons I, a Bernie supporter, did not vote in Iowa for Hillary. Voted for the Iraq War. Considers Mubarak a friend. Considers Kissinger a friend. Continuation of two-family domination of politics. 8 years VP for Bush. 4 years of president for Bush. Bush won, 4 years president for Bush won, 8 years president for Bush two, Jeb runs for president, 8 years for president for Clinton, two presidential runs for Hill, which could have been 8 more years for Clinton. Considers Madeleine Albright a great supporter who justified the no-fly zone killing children in Iraq as acceptable. Said she would be the best friend ever known to man to the state of Israel. Wants to prosecute Snowden. Runs a money vacuum known as the Clinton Foundation that received huge amounts of funds from foreign governments given, oh, for the fun of it. God got preferred treatment from the DNC and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. He says Susie, but Debbie. Got debate questions from CNN contributor. Kept a private server in her home to shield email communications from review. Gave speeches for hundreds of thousands of dollars to the financial community. Was initially for the TPP, the gold standard. Was on the board of Walmart. Is a corporate Democrat. Was not initially in favor of $15 minimum wage. Stood by her blowjob husband. Told black people that they need to heal was part of the decision to liberate Libya. When Carol Baker says, fuck you to me, fuck her. Signed, Greg, former supporter of your show who sent you Mac computer parts. And for that, I remain most humbly grateful. Some of what's on Greg's list is valid, some is not. Some of it is proof positive that the slime machine that the Republican Party built worked better than they could ever have even begun to imagine. I mean, the business about the Clinton Foundation, that all comes from a hatchet book that was written by a right-wing sleazebag that had, you know, no basis in reality. And, you know, I come back to being completely comfortable with my vote. Absolutely comfortable with my vote. Because, see, there were only two candidates running, and hey! Look, we've got the post. The pile of shit, Trump. Ain't it charming? Carol, meanwhile, notes, because if you're, I mean, back and forth. He's one of those privileged white men who won't befall a lot on who won't fall a lot of the shitstorm coming down on women and people of color. It must be nice sitting in the skybox looking down on woman. Fuck you, Greg. And I'm perfectly fine with his bitter disappointment in me. I'll sleep just fine, sweetie. Here we go. There, look, this is part of it. There's going to be recriminations. There's going to be anger. But anybody who did not vote for Hillary Clinton, part of the problem. That's just part of the problem. Jack says, how about when the Trump boys hang up their wild animal trophy heads on the White House walls? Won't that be a lovely moment? A note coming from David in South Carolina, Stan. My daughter teaches an English class to a group of 10 young Hispanic girls. Monday evening, all the little girls were so excited about a woman being elected president. The girls were singing, dancing, and so happy. Last night, she went to watch election returns in the first election she had voted in. Later, she called me to ask what was going on. Later, she called home and was sobbing, so distraught. She said all she could see in her mind was those little girls singing. I cannot explain this. There were pictures from Princeton campus where they had put up voted signs, and there were excited, happy millennials, proud that they had voted in their first election. They're all shattered. We have Mexican-American friends, Kenyan friends, Ghanaian friends, gay friends, and, of course, many black friends. I lost my wife because Nimrata Haley, the governor of South Carolina, would not expand Medicaid. Supreme Court gave states the right to not expand it. My grandson died from spina bifida and Arnold Chiari malformation. Probably kids like him will soon be turned away from health care access. The kids with her at Princeton are all extremely upset and cannot understand it. I'm fairly competent at politics, and I don't get it either. And my computer background tells me something suspicious is afoot. All polls were wrong, and he did say the election was rigged. Yes, people are going to die, but this is what pro-life motherfuckers always do. They always cause more pain and death. Let's run up and check in Ontario. I think this is Kath. Is that you? Is that you, Kath?
It sure is.
I'm so glad to hear from you.
Yeah, I'm sorry I've been a little bit absent, but I felt like of all the times, today was the time to come back in and, you know, connect with people that are like-minded.
I think it was a lovely choice on your part, and I appreciate you making it.
Oh, anytime. I can't even imagine how Americans are feeling right now. I am absolutely gutted.
And you're in Canada.
Yeah.
You're safe. I mean, and that's not me being mean to you. The fact that you're feeling that there tells me that the repercussions of what was done last night are only beginning to be felt. There are heads of state in Europe right now, Kath, who don't know if NATO is going to survive and are looking at the possibility of being gobbled up by Russia. That would include Germany.
That's the big game right now, are all the what ifs. What if every little thing, every little promise, every little comment that's spewed out of Trump's face, actually he tries to make something of it.
This is a man who loses his shit over a mean tweet.
Right.
And we're just going to sit back and say, it was probably just all an act, and he's going to break up the two-party duopoly now, and we're all going to have unicorns.
Yeah, it's just stunning. So I get asked, why do I care about American politics so much? And the answer for me is pretty simple. Pierre Trudeau, Justin Trudeau's father, who was a prime minister back in the 60s and 70s, described Canada and the U.S. relationship as sleeping next to an elephant.
Yeah.
If they don't roll over, it doesn't bother you, but if they just roll over, you're sure going to feel it.
You're going to be crushed. And you know, that's, and that was Pierre Trudeau. Meanwhile, more than a century ago, Porfirio Diaz down in Mexico said, "Poor Mexico, so far from God, so near the United States."
Yeah. I and you're starting to see now the deplorables are coming out of their baskets, right? Like, my Facebook page is lit up with vandalism, high school bathroom doors being etched with things like "no niggers, go back to Africa," things like that. Sorry for use of the N-word, but...
And it's going to, there's going to be more and more of that. I saw where one couple's apartment door that was painted a lovely shade of purple and had a beautiful sparkly white holiday wreath on it had the letters "faggots" scratched into it.
And that's just the thing. Like, electing Donald Trump is like a giant big permission note for anyone, I think, that has any kind of inklings of feeling this way and even slightly entertain the notion of being public. Oh, well, look, you're a fearless leader.
Well, this is, Kath, this is what we meant all along when I kept talking about the fact that he was normalizing hate. That phrase, normalizing hate, you know, it sounds a little pretentious. It sounds a little, it sounds a little intellectual, but it is brutally true. And we are going to see its brutal truth more and more in the days and weeks to come. And on the day that, that it is inaugurated, it's gonna burst like a, oh, I don't know. It's gonna burst like the toxin sac from a fugu fish or something, and we're gonna get it all over us.
I was thinking more along the lines of a festering abscess, but I hear your analogy.
That's equally gross. That works for me. But see, it's okay to wear your Klan robes in public now. It's okay.
Exactly.
It's okay to get a great big swastika tattooed on the back of your neck and the word "Trump" on the other side. I mean, it's okay to talk about the Lügenpresse, the lying press. It's okay to talk about hanging journalists and murdering black people. These are all things that he and these Republican fascist thugs have made okay.
Yeah, and I mean, what's the most terrifying, I think, for a lot of you, and I know for me, is how many Supreme Court selections is this guy going to get?
One.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to wish anyone passing, but the reality is, who is it? The notorious RBGs.
She's had pancreatic cancer twice, Kath.
True. I'm normally an optimistic person. And, you know, I started watching the coverage last night, and I was so sure that, I mean, I'm not a Hillary fan, but I just didn't want it to be Trump. And as the returns, it was just, with every call they made, it was just like disbelief heaped on shock, heaped on more shock, heaped on more disbelief. And like I said, I'm a Canadian. I don't exactly have a horse in this race. So I can't even imagine what it feels like for you guys.
I got the same thing going in a different direction. You know, Kath, Canadians, and you know, it's kind of a joke, but it's not a joke. Canadians are really nice people. And to see the level of vitriol and hate down here, it's got to feel like, do y'all sit around just looking at us going, why do they have to be that way? I mean, it's like watching the dysfunctional family let the brawl roll out through the door and boil out into the front yard next door.
Yeah, maybe that's the part of why, I don't know, like, I guess maybe if I could have voted, maybe I'd feel better. I don't know.
No. If I may dare answer that question for you, Kath, no, you would not feel better. I voted my little heart out, and I lost everywhere.
Yeah.
It's cold comfort.
So, I guess with the way the setup is now with the Senate and with the House and everything going Republican, does that mean they can just bulldoze whatever they want through, or is there enough of a numbers game to be played when it gets down to the nitty gritty?
The ugly reality of the House can do anything it wants to.
Okay, yeah.
Because the Democrats have no way of stopping them. The Senate has the tradition, and it is by no means enshrined in law or the Constitution, of the filibuster. The filibuster gets renewed as a thing every time the Senate adopts its new rules in January. Watch for Mitch McConnell to completely nuke the filibuster, because the filibuster is all we got left. And the filibuster would mean that maybe we could, we can't stop lower level judicial appointments, but we could stop a Supreme Court appointment. But the absence of the only thing that has any hope is the filibuster. And that, of course, relies upon the notion that there are fighting Democrats in the Senate who are willing to go all the way to the damn mat to stop things. So
like Bernie,
maybe, maybe you kind of hope an Al Franken, but, I don't know. Maybe a Sherrod Brown, but I don't know. Tim Kaine, he's not going to go back to the Senate from Virginia and start raising hell and setting things on fire. Oh, no, because, he's meek and he's mild and he's even-handed and sweet and easy to get along with. So that ain't going to happen. Meanwhile, the Republicans in the Senate are what I traditionally refer to as the stump liquor bunch. They are drunk out of their minds. Their eyes are bugged out and red, and they're feeling mean, and they're up to some curb stomping. And they will do that. So, what Kim and Malin said a few minutes ago, the Supreme Court will do the dirty work on marriage equality. On the other hand, the Senate and the House, as job one, will probably pass a repeal of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. So I probably will not have health care much past January, if that far.
Jesus.
I mean, it's real. I realize that Scott out in San Diego is trying to look on the sunny side of life, but this stuff is real, Kath. This is real, and it's going to happen. As I said in predicting the victory of Trump, I will be happy to be proven wrong, but so far, my instincts have proven pretty damn good.
Yeah. I mean, you'd love to be wrong, but...
I have a vested interest in being wrong. Being able to go to the doctor when I'm sick. And to a Canadian, that must just sound like crazy talk, getting all excited about being able to go to the doctor when I'm sick. I got to get on the road tomorrow morning and drive down to Charleston to my endocrinologist, and it may very well be my last appointment with my endocrinologist.
You're right. I can't even wrap my head around that. I'm so sorry, Bob. I mean, everything, I guess, from very personal, local experience, right through to the role that the U.S. plays on the world stage, there's potentially taint from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And, the only, I mean... doesn't help you much if you can't get in to see your doctor. But what we're seeing in Canada, even after only a day, is that we have someone running for leadership of our Conservative Party, and she made a statement about Canada needs more of Trump. And that did not go so well for her.
I hope it didn't, because one thing that I've seen proven time and again is that American diseases have a way of metastasizing around the world.
Yeah.
I had a note earlier from Barry. You might find interesting, Kath. It's very simple. Barry writes, it hit me this morning. There goes Social Security.
Yeah.
I mean, that's astonishing. Kath, I'm going to try to let a few more people into the conversation.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad you called in, and I hope we'll hear from you again soon. And I value and appreciate your perspective coming from where you do.
Well, thanks for having me on, Bob. I appreciate it as well.
My pleasure. Take care.
Okay.
Bye now. Kath calling from Canada. I got more notes to share, more calls to take, and I will do both. Let's see. Carol in Las Vegas. Well, Bob, I'd just like to take a moment to thank all the people who voted for Hillary in the primary. Take a bow, because in my opinion, this is all their fault. These stupid assholes were determined to shove Hillary down our throats, and now we have Trump as president and a Republican House and Senate who will be shoving their agenda all the way up our collective ass for the next 4 to 8 years. Yes, as you can tell, I'm in a very foul mood. I just don't think that what is left of the New Deal will survive this time. For those of us who were not born rich, I'm afraid we're in real trouble. Thanks to the Clintons, I fear there's not much left of the Democratic Party anymore. I have no clue as to if I will ever be able to find a reason to vote again. Sorry for the downer email, but as far as I'm concerned, the Clintons can go fuck themselves. Meanwhile, Todd says, this was a perfect scalp. In and out, think about the movie Trading Places. My team shorted last night and covered and went long when Trump won PA. And look, it's all black across. Trump will be more liberal than Clinton. But I'm not sticking to this side. I was listening to Stephanie's show. I really didn't feel love for her when she was crying. She's a white millionaire that happens to be a gay woman, but she was the leading shill against Bernie. So I say fuck you to the professional left. And Bob, we as progressives, like a bad marriage and divorce, can maybe be friends, but we'll always be at contention and not be in a state of mutual fidelity. We are too diverse that each discrete faction strives for supremacy like crabs in a bucket, one egotistical crab trying to climb over the compatriot over clams, and she risks all of them falling back into the bucket that puts them into the steamer. I'm fucking 51 years old, I'm lifting from Tracy, and not I got mine, fuck you, but I'm getting there. It is a bitter and painful time here. And I hope, for all our sakes, that we will get our shit together and heal wounds. Because this is a guaranteed way. This is a guaranteed way to watch it all fall apart. Carol with a good question, and I endorse this. Why is it that people believe that because we voted for her, we liked her? We wanted Bernie. I wanted Bernie. Virtually everybody in this community wanted Bernie. But that ain't how the system works. Some people want to say that the nomination was stolen from him. I'm not comfortable with that. This election, I think, was stolen. Or if you want to use a less incendiary word, it was certainly manipulated. Thanks, WikiLeaks! Funny how WikiLeaks, during the long period of the campaign, never managed to find any dirt about Trump. Isn't that just funny? Isn't that just interesting? Funny how they didn't even hack Bernie! Huh. Curious. Curious how that would happen. Beats me. I don't know. Let's keep things rolling. I think we've got Billable Rick over on the Skype line. Is that you, Rick? Or not? Here we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yes, Bob.
Yeah. Hey, Rick.
It's Billable. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Oh, yeah, I got home, and first thing I did was have a beer, because I knew things were going down. I got home, I guess it would have been about midnight Eastern time, when it was clear that Hillary was going to go down the tubes. But, yeah, I mean, I got the same kind of sick feeling I got after the re-election of Reagan in 84. The night that he was re-elected, there was an announcement that warships were off the coast of Nicaragua. I don't know if you remember that, if you can go back in time to that, but that was I kind of got a flashback to that. And I was like thinking, oh, geez, here we go again, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not made comfortable by the idea that the Russian bear is flexing its muscle.
No, I'm not either. And, you know, I think I think what's going to probably happen is before the end of 2017. Oh, can I talk to you in a minute? Yeah, I'm on the phone. Yeah. I think before the end of 2017, we're most likely going to probably be at war with Iran. If that peace treaty is torn up and, Iran is going to restart its nuclear program, then, you know, Israel's been wanting to have us attack Iran for so long now, for even during the George Bush administration, George Bush, GW, we were on the verge of war with Iran. We were going to bomb their facilities and so forth. I think we're going to be right back to where we were, and then that could bring the Russians in as well. So, this is a very dangerous position we're in, and, I really do think that that Comey letter was a big deal on October 28th. I think that could have cost Hillary 2 percentage points nationally.
I will always believe, Rick, that that was the product of a conspiracy between Jason Chaffetz and James Comey.
That very well could be. That very well could be. And, I don't see any other purpose for disclosing that. It's just really, there's nothing here. What are you doing? You don't talk about your investigation while you're doing the steps of the investigation. That's totally ridiculous. I guess on a more personal note, I was awoken this morning after only probably getting about 3 hours of sleep with a series of beeps on my text message from a group text message that I'm connected with my family. We kind of we'll do text for holidays and, let's say big Iowa football games or Chicago Cubs games, that kind of thing, And, boy, I tell you, the filth that was coming through on that made me wonder, do I know these people, I'll read you the one that's the most offensive, mostly cracks about Obama, Obama phones and, things like that, and, collard greens and taking down the Black Panther posters from the wall and stuff like that. It finally got to the point where I damn near canceled my Thanksgiving travel plan. It got that bad.
Not that I've got a crystal ball or anything, Rick. It ain't going to be any better at Thanksgiving dinner.
No.
Because these sons of bitches are in a gloating mood, a mean mood, and they're gonna savor their victory.
Yeah, I said, look, you guys should be ashamed of yourselves. Your guy won. Be gracious. Stop acting like fucking white supremacists.
How can they stop acting like what they are, Rick?
Yeah, that's true.
That's like asking a scorpion to stop acting like a scorpion.
Right. Doesn't work. Doesn't work that way. Yeah, but, he has just unleashed so much. I never thought of my two younger brothers as racist, but actually my two younger brothers and my older brother, the one who's not racist is my oldest brother, I never thought of them as racist, but I think they are. he's really kind of tapped into that deep-seated, fear of black people that, that certain white people, have. And I was talking to Tracy about it earlier today, and she's going to have kind of a get-together on Sunday, which would be nice, over at her place. So I'll get to meet Jan finally. But, I don't understand the America. I don't understand our present America. I now know how the Austrians must have felt during the Anschluss, when Hitler decided to annex Austria, basically, combine it with Germany. Was that it? If I recall?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Yeah, I mean, everything is on the table. I mean, this guy, you know, he says he's not going to cut Social Security, but don't count on it, you know? He's going to...
What's he going to do, Rick, when the House and Senate send him a bill that kills Social Security? Because he's going to veto that?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. And then the idea of the filibuster, it's like the Democrats, you know, they've been afraid to use it. They were afraid to use it during the, you know, G.W. Bush years, you know? You know, there was a whole thing, you know, the so-called nuclear option where the, you know, the Republicans were going to basically, you know, rely just on majority vote to get Supreme Court nominations in the middle of a term, you know. And they backed away, and there was the Gang of Seven and all that, and compromised, and that's how we got Alito, I think. And I don't know about Roberts. I think it was Alito. That's how we got Alito and some, you know, about three or four circuit court judges. But, you know, there are no checks and balances when a Republican is in power with a, you know, with a Congress that's composed of Republicans. I mean, you know, it's a free-for-all now. So it's a matter of what can we steal? That's what it becomes, you know? What can we tear apart? What can we steal? How can we make some money off of, you know, on the backs of the poor people and those who can't defend themselves? And I really feel for, you know, my fellow Americans. I mean, I was telling my son, we're going to be okay. I was telling my girlfriend, hey, we're going to be okay, you know, because we're not, you know, but the people who voted for Trump are the ones who are going to be paying, you know, the ignorant, ill-informed voters who voted for him that, you know, are lashing out based on their, you know, economic circumstances. And I have a little bit of a different critique on the election as far as what caused, you know, why Hillary lost. There just weren't enough voters out there for Hillary. I mean, obviously, comparatively speaking, because Obama got 66 million when he got reelected in 2012. He got 70 million in 2008. McCain got 60 million in 2008. Romney got 61 million in 2012. And this year, it looks like they're going to be maybe each around, what, 60 million, 60.7 or 60.5 million, something more or less. So Hillary just didn't get enough votes. People weren't excited enough about her candidacy, and I think she didn't get the... I haven't seen the numbers yet, but I doubt the millennials showed up in force like they did for Obama, especially the first time and to some extent the second time. And I don't think she got the you know, minority vote like she needed to, or at least not enough of an increase in Hispanics to make up for the lack of enthusiasm among blacks. And then Trump got, like, I think 28% of the Hispanic vote. Don't ask me how. But, you know, I don't blame it on the Greens or Johnson. I mean, those people might not have voted anyway, even though you might have a state or two where the margin is, you know, small.
Yeah, I mean, well, Johnson apparently did. It's hard to say. The analytics aren't in yet. But there, it almost looks like millennials went over and voted for Johnson.
Oh, maybe for the, yeah, the libertarian. I guess he liked to, what, smoke pot and get laid, right, as Tom Hartman used to say.
And try to find Aleppo.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, well, Aleppo, the little toboggan with the ball on the end and the red and red and white striped sweater. Where's Aleppo? Oh,
there
wait, that was Waldo.
We're not going to be able to find Aleppo once Russia gets through bombing it, you know?
Oh, well, Aleppo's going to be a little hole in the ground.
A great big hole in the ground.
I mean,
yeah, so... I don't know. I don't share Scott's optimism. I think we've been rat fucked, and I think we're going to have to be taking it for the next, you know, at least 2 years, unless we can, you know, get back up, you know, the House, or, you know, we're not going to get back the Senate in 2018. Maybe the House. I don't know. You know, might be less of a heavy lift to get.
I'm back to what I've said all along. The next half decent chance, and it is only marginal at best because of what has been done to the access to the ballot. You know, a country that wants people to vote doesn't make it so goddamn hard for people to vote is November of 2022.
Yeah.
And that's a bitter pill to swallow looking at
it,
6 years.
And, yeah.
Because
the hell that
can be wrought in 6 years is substantial.
Yeah, and that's something that hasn't been covered at all, I think, as you touched on, you know, the fact that there was voter suppression. Look at all the, look at the decrease in the polling places in Arizona, Maricopa County, from 600, or what is it, was it 200 to 60, I think, polling places in a city of, you know, millions of people, in a county of millions of people. And then North Carolina, they cut down on early voting and had to go to court to fight that and sort of won, but it still shortened the period. And, I mean, I thought the idea of democracy was to have more people vote, but obviously the Republicans can't win if everybody gets out there and votes. So they, I mean, you know, just looking at the numbers, comparing the two elections, I think Trump's negative advertising and his whole negative cast of the campaign probably discouraged about 7-8 million people from voting who would have voted, who voted last time around. You know?
Yeah, so, I don't know how much you, in a place like North Carolina, I think you probably weight an estimate there more greatly on suppression tactics than on an enthusiasm gap.
Okay. Yeah. 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 Probably so. Because I mean, if you're waiting in line for 3 or 4 hours, that's voter suppression. I mean, I got right into the poll. Like, I didn't wait a minute at all.
And look, there's hard and soft suppression. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you get 2 weeks of Trumpansies running around saying, well, we're going to be watching them Negroes at the polls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
Nobody's suppressing your vote at the polls. You just stay home because you don't want to be another poster in another Black Lives Matter protest march.
Yeah, right. Right. You don't want to be the next Trayvon, you know, or the next, Garner, Eric Garner.
Eric Garner. Tamir Rice.
Yeah.
Walter Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I feel so badly for those people who are, you know, really at risk of losing their health insurance. I mean, you're going to have no choice but to go to, I guess, the hospital when you get really sick, and they can't treat you for certain things, you know?
Well, no, they don't treat you. They do what's called stabilizing.
Okay, right.
A few weeks ago, a man who worked at Hellmart went to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
No coverage. They stabilized him, and he went home, and 2 days later died of a heart attack.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
Okay, this is real.
Wow.
People are going to die.
Yeah. Well,
and the thing is, let's understand, the Republicans are completely okay in the name of the so-called magical free market with killing them. Let there be no debate on that. But Rick, I got to roll. I'm trying to get as many calls in as I can.
Okay, Bob.
Let's see who's next.
Okay, great show, man.
Thanks, Rick. Bye now.
All right, bye.
And before I go to the next call, we are let me calculate here. Thank you, Kitty. Kitty with a note saying, for the David in Vermont challenge, the sun will come out tomorrow, Bob. Problem is that with a climate change denier in the White House, we won't have an ozone layer left to save us from being fried to a crisp. Signed, Kitty in Boston. So that's $15 toward David's challenge. And I know we've got a little bit more, and I'm looking down here. I know we've got 65. I can't find it to say thank you. Oh, there we go. Now, just a second here. Thank you very kindly to Keith. Thank you, Keith. So, yes, we have $65 to go to catch up with David's challenge from Vermont. Thank you. And over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yeah, how's it going, Bob?
Good, Charlie. How about you?
Not too good. I think that we ought to all just, every time we see a Hillary supporter, we ought to just go up to them and say, you're the reason that there's a Trump in the White House.
I... The bitterness is deep, Charlie.
But I want to reserve it for the
people who are the problem. And that's not people who went out and tried to do the right thing at the ballot box. That's the people who went out and voted for the orange pile, steaming orange pile of shit. They're why he's in, not yet, but will be in the White House. That and Republican voter suppression tactics.
Yeah, and I sent you an email. I don't know if you got it earlier about a poster from Germany. This is going to be probably Trump's health, new health care, where it shows the guy that's a disabled person. It says it cost you 60,000 Reichmarks to keep this person alive. It said genetically inferior person alive. It's your money. And that's probably the health care plan that Trump's going to come up with. Just, if somebody has a disability or has an illness, you just let them die. And it saves money.
I can scarcely stand the thought, Charlie. But I do want to go back to the notion, you know, hey, I voted for Hillary. I'm not part of the problem. Stein was not going to make anything better, and I was going to vote for... Because, you know, there were only two candidates on that ballot yesterday.
Yeah.
Trump and Hillary. That's it. There were only two candidates who had a possibility of winning the election. Let's put it that way.
It didn't really matter down here in Tennessee, so I didn't vote in the national election. I just voted for the local candidates.
And I can't fault you for that. I won't fault you for that. But because it wasn't even close in Tennessee. Just like it wasn't close in Louisiana, it damn sure wasn't close here in West Virginia. I remember when a few months back when a professional political consultant told me here, oh, Hillary will get her 35% in West Virginia. Ha! Not so much.
I was scared to death of Hillary Clinton. She is a corporatist. She's as bad as Obama. I don't know what's happened to the Democrat Party. I mean, you know, if FDR was running right now, he wouldn't have a chance.
Zombie FDR could not have got elected yesterday. This is a country that is in a very, very, very mean state of mind, and they want to raise some hell, and they want to wreak it on people that they don't like. And the people they don't like, Charlie, are you, and they're me, and people with brown skin, and people with uppity women. And foreigners, and you know, they want to flex some American muscle and go kick some ass somewhere.
But at the same time,
they want to suck the toes of Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I was born with cerebral palsy. I'm diabetic, and I'm going deaf slowly. And you know, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be around.
None of us know, Charlie. But I thank you for making the call, and I thank you for being so patient as to wait. And hopefully, we will talk again soon. I'm going to try to get
okay,
a couple more. I'm going to try to get a couple more calls
do,
in.
And keep it up.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you. You stay safe. Really, you're in a place where you need to stay safe. Bye now.
Bye.
And. Well, dadgummit. Still getting used to this Android device. I don't know if I hung up on Tracy or not. I hope I didn't, but I think I may have. I'm sorry. But in the meantime, let's run out to... I'll just push the button. There we go. And see what's happening in New Mexico. Hey, welcome to the program. Hey, is that you? Is that you, Gary?
Yeah, that's me.
Cool. Welcome
in.
Can you turn your speaker down, please?
Yeah. Okay, I got it muted.
Good.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Okay. Now just some thoughts on on the election. And I posted a couple in the chat, but I immediately recognized that the first time that Donald Trump got up on the stage and said the election's rigged, that it was dialed in for the Republicans. You know, they had it locked up. You know, and I have no doubt in my mind that they pulled votes in Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Wisconsin. I mean, they were brazen about it. Michigan, I mean, come on, Pennsylvania. I have little doubt that their tech geeks outgeeked us this time around. Where was Anonymous?
Right. And I'm sorry, I know it makes me sound like a paranoiac, but how is it? I guess Donald Trump just didn't have any nasty, sleazy emails out there for WikiLeaks to go get. I mean, right?
Yeah, I think that, they knew the fix was in. That's all.
Well, I think WikiLeaks was part of the fix.
Huh?
I think WikiLeaks was part of the fix.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you could really tie them in, but I think they had a network of between all the machines and you know, supposedly the word was, I don't know if it was 08 or 12 or whatever, when what was it, Karl Rove was going nuts about the results, and then supposedly the rumor was that Anonymous prevented somebody from hacking into some server somewhere, you know, supposedly to flip votes, and they couldn't do it, and thus Obama won or was reelected, whichever election that was. And, I think they went to work saying, that's not going to happen again. And, I can't believe that Trump could possibly get more than, 45, 50 million votes. So I think there was some major vote flipping. And of course, we all know there was major suppression. You know, we're 10 million votes less than the last election. So I think that's pretty serious indicators there. That
300,000 people did not get to vote in Wisconsin, was it? Just in Wisconsin?
I'm not sure about the individual states, but overall, the way it looks right now, they're roughly about 60 million votes each, and in one election, Obama got like 69 million from the final total, and I don't know if it was McCain got 62 or Romney got 61 or 62 or something. So we're a ton of votes short of that mark, with all this, with the media saying, oh, massive turnout and blah, 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 and, all this new registration of young people and Hispanics and this and that. And, it's not making sense.
The polls, how did the polls get it so goddamn wrong? I mean, I think it's a fair question, Gary. Unfortunately, though, I got to get out of here because we're right up against it. But I'm glad you called in, and I'm glad you're part of the conversation. Thank you, Gary.
Okay. All right. Good night.
Bye now. It really is time to go. Thank you, everyone who participated this evening. Listen, we don't have to get all our licks in on one evening. I will be back tomorrow evening and the evening after that, and we will continue to talk about this. I think we need to talk through this before we even start dealing with, the newsy stuff, like the fact that the Dakota Access Pipeline operator has decided to say, screw you, Obama, and is moving into the final phase of drilling under Lake Oahe in pressing that toxic pipeline down the throats of people who don't want it. So we'll get there. One last thing. Tom Cotton, Arkansas, wants to force so-called sanctuary cities to turn over undocumented immigrants. But we're going to be okay, right? Because Trump's going to break the duopoly. More to come. One last thing, and then I'm out of here. James with a note. Let's try to look at what we can make happen. But first, if you think that this country doesn't already round people up, take a look at our prison population. So true. The GOP has no more reason to keep the jobs corralled, so there will be jobs. And Trump has promised to bring back manufacturing, but he needs to be made aware that tax cuts won't do it. If he wants to scrap so-called free trade, let's help him. But if he wants to break the union, or what's left of it, let's put together the long-needed general strike. That's what brought down the right-wing governments in Eastern Europe, the Rose Revolution, the Orange Revolution, that sort of thing. And one last thought for now. Fuck any talk of going to Canada or Costa Rica. The fight's right here. And with that, I'm out of here. Thank you, everyone. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to all of you who participate in this conversation, each and every way you do it. Thank you so very much. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.